Now, here we know the government is determined to get Britain building, but how about a touch of demolition? A new report highlights a telecoms legacy which is blighting streets up and down the country, and one that's proved stubbornly resistant to the town planners. I popped out of the studio around the corner from our building to find out more. I'm actually standing in a phone box covered in graffiti, glass missing, so you can't exactly make a private phone call. I don't know whether or not the phone works. I'll find out in a moment. But according to the think tank Create Streets, which has just issued a report into why there are so many of these phone boxes still littering city streets in areas where many people have mobile phones and there's good mobile phone coverage, it turns out that a lot of it has nothing to do with phone calls or communication. It's about money. Insert coins. Let's put this in here. So, I've got a dialing tone. Here we go. Hello, is that Nicholas Boyes-Smith of the Create Streets think tank? Why does this matter? Why should we be worried about this?
Well, if it was just a box with a bit of advertising on it, providing a bit of Wi-Fi service, perhaps it's a loss of public space, but perhaps it doesn't matter too much. But in fact, what we're seeing is a very high proportion of them are attracting antisocial behaviour. And anyway, that's not surprising. If you have an unused box in the middle of the street, people are going to use it for litter. I'm afraid some get used as lavatories or worse. They're not just not a positive, they're actually a negative to the livability and the sociability and the safety of our streets.
Right. So the obvious answer to that is, why are they still here?
The good reason is that under the Communications Act 2003, universal service providers do have an obligation, I think quite reasonably, to provide a certain level of phone coverage. The need for this universal coverage has completely collapsed. So at its peak in 2002, there were about 800 million minutes of use of phone booths. That has gone down by an estimated 99.5% to less than 4 million for the last years that we've got data. So there is a need for them in perhaps rural areas where there's no coverage, where there might be accidents or risk of suicide. They're not totally without necessary. The bad reason, and the reason why there are far more than that need would require, is that actually they're a rather nice little earner. If you essentially own a box in a busy street with lots of people passing, you can turn them into advertising. So we see that many of these phone booths survive in streets where there actually isn't a need for them. You know, there's very good coverage. Nothing wrong with using advertising to cross-subsidise a public service, but the logic has flipped around and the tail is wagging the dog.
Now, the obvious answer to that is to say, well, why don't the council just kind of get rid of them all, or order the owners to get rid of them, particularly the ones that aren't working anymore?
Well, the owners don't want to because they're making a nice revenue from it, thank you very much.
But why can't the council force them to?
Other than for phone boxes put in between 1995 and 2019, it's incredibly hard for councils to legally get these things removed without very high bills that the phone providers pit them with.
The new government is not short of legislative ambition. I didn't see this in the King's speech this week, but what could ministers do? And do you think they should be doing something about this?
They've got a lot to do, and I'm not saying they should be, you know, absolute top of the list. But there are two sets of things that could be done, you know, without legislation, if not straight away, then certainly soon. So a few routes have been found to get rid of some boxes put in between 1995 and 2019. Local government authorities and others should make that widely available to all the councils who don't know they can at least do that. I think then Historic England could make it easier for the listed historic phone boxes, the Giles Gilbert Scott red ones that we all love, to have a change of use from being a phone box to being a defibrillator or a coffee shop or a poetry library, whatever it might be. So those are two things that could be done without legislation. And then what we set out in the report is three or four changes to current legislation that could be done to make it easier to remove problematic phone boxes installed since 1984. So why not impose higher rates on these phone boxes? At the moment, they have incredibly low rates, like, you know, local tax. If the phone operators start to see a downside financially as well as an upside for the, you know, the thing they're putting in our public realm, in our civic streets, then at least they get a trade-off between a no-loss advertising revenue versus a bit of tax imposed on that.
How about £1 million a year for every phone box that doesn't work? That might be a bit of an incentive.
We don't suggest that figure in the report, but I mean, that wouldn't be up to us. But, you know, clearly they should be rather higher than nothing at all, or close to nothing.
That's Nicholas Boyes-Smith of the think tank Create Streets. The